the light that hath shined. We have a hymn in our book, Come to the Light, to shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Once I was what? But now I see. The light of the world is Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the evening before us and for the privilege that we have to share these moments together. May our thoughts center around the one great person in our life, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. May that transcend the normal usage, the words, the sentiments, and the traditions of time. But may we be able to latch on to Him who holds us in His hand securely forever. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your blessing as we just take a few moments, look into the Scripture, and then return to the hymn book and praise your name in these great classic hymns of the faith. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the company of God's people. We thank you for the blessing of thy presence, Lord, and it is indeed a blessing. And I ask, dear God, that you might help us to at all times be so very conscious of your presence that everywhere we go, every minute of the day, that we might acknowledge your being there. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that that might be more than a casual theological thought that we hold dear to our hearts, as dear as it is. But we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might walk hand in hand with you as literally as we can until we see you face to face. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The same author in his epistles, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This morning when we left off at Isaiah 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful. Very specific word there. By that we gather the obvious that he is miraculous, and he is works in the sphere of the miraculous, and that he is mighty. And in all of that, our observation would be, as we sit back, even with a biased observation, and say, is marvelous. Black sin had cast its baleful shadow upon the world. It was into such a dark, sinful world that Jesus came as the light. Into this world, God sent his Son, the light of his Son, to vanquish the dreaded darkness. Not only darkness in the literal fashion, because that he cared for at creation. Let there be light, and there was light. But there is then the dispelling of darkness once the light appears. We read again in Isaiah 9 verse 2 that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. It's entered into this dark world in a most stunning fashion. Served to bring hope to people the world over who had nothing. And later the prophet would declare in Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3, arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. And Matthew chapter 4 in the 16th verse locks in that reference to Isaiah 9, 2 when it says, and it applies it to our hope fulfilled in Christ. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in that region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Sprung indeed. Unto us a child is born. His name is called Wonderful. How wonderful indeed when the light comes on. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We just read there out of John's Gospel. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When you think about how scintillating life itself is in comparison to the alternative, compare the same thing with light and darkness, how neat the light is compared to the darkness. There is a prevailing contemporary threat that is being written about more and more in some of the leading journals and papers and being commented on. Testimonies are being given before various houses and various committees in the House and the Senate with regard to the nuclear attack, the potential nuclear attack that the Koreans, the North Koreans have, that would not necessarily even have to reach America, but simply rise to a certain altitude and explode a nuclear device, depending on how high it was, would basically fry electrical circuits for a long way off. Depending on where it was centered and how high it was, it might be able to cook the grids that supply the power to your home and mine for an undetermined basis. Now, the very thought of that 5 years ago was sort of thought only in the realm of the survivalists and the doomsdayers and the naysayers, but now it is being more and more ushered into the mainstream thought, and so that preparations are made. Major corporations now are investing heavily in trying to counter that potential with new and updated equipment and software. So who but God knows where that is? All I know is that whenever you need the light and the light is not there, then you know exactly how deprived and how demoralizing that can be. So we wait as creatures. We are subject to the night and day cycles and what that God has planned. When sunlight comes up, dawn arises. How nice that is. Every dawn of a new day is such an occasion for rejoicing. On the other hand, when we get to the other side of that and the sun goes down and the darkness creeps up, I don't know about you. Maybe you're different than I am. More likely you are, but I don't have any more relish to see the sun go down so quick. I like the light. And every morning it serves as a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness and His refreshment. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It falls to us then who have been called out of the darkness into His marvelous light, into the fellowship of His Son. It falls to us to show forth His praises. The Son most wonderful hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His Son, His dear Son. So then, as we have seen this wonderful light, what of all them who yet sit in the region of death? Did not the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26 cite our responsibility when he said, go to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins? Is not that encouragement given to us again in Matthew's Gospel, where it says in the beginning of the Beatitudes, let your light shine. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Marvelous, Miraculous, and Mighty. And so again I come back to this for this evening. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course the answer is nothing. There is no spectrum of grandeur that is not attainable by the Lord. I mean, even as far back into the book of Exodus chapter 15, the statement is asked, who is like unto thee doing wonders? There the same word that describes him in Isaiah 9 is used. And the psalmist uses or employs the same word when he says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Wonderful. He speaks and he does to the same degree, commensurate with his might and his miraculous being. He is the consummate monarch. At Bethlehem, the eternal word was made flesh. We read it in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son made of a woman. And now all this was done, according to what we read elsewhere, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. Marvelous to me will be till the day I die, when I remember, learned this early on in the study of that portion of Scripture, that that prophecy was uttered and recorded, preserved for our attention, 700 years to the date of its occurrence. And of the light of the glory of the Lord as it shined all around the shepherds, the angel uttered a message befitting such a grand occasion. It says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so when we think about that, and we think about that on this occasion, darkness, dreaded darkness, fly away. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He shall save his people from their sins. Oh, the glittering, sparkling light. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you realize when that statement is made and when the question is posed and when it concerns the individual sinner, dead in trespasses and sin, that there is that obvious impotence, that inability on the part of the sinner to come to the light. Even on his best day, the light may shine before his face, but there's no interest in, no aptitude for, no affection for, no reason to come to the light. And the reason we find in Jesus' own words, John chapter 3, verse 18, men loved darkness rather than light. When you and I were saved, that changed, that flipped. For now we love the light and we hate the darkness. That is now, I say, natural, perhaps, but supernatural in its effect and trace to its origin. We love the light, we hate the darkness. And we love the light because God is light. And so the focal point of our singing tonight, as your eyes are drawn to the candlelight, as your heart is drawn to the truth that is embraced in the hymns that you will sing, the focal point is the light. Thank God that He did not leave us to sit in darkness in the region of death. Thank God for the light that sprung up. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.